Rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Because there will be a resurrection of the dead. You can read about it in Revelation 20. There'll be a resurrection, and the sea will give up the dead that are in it. And death and hell, the grave, is the hell there, will deliver up the dead. And they will be judged according to their works. And whoever was not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire, which is the destruction of the soul and body. The worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. That means that they are completely burned and they are completely devoured. What would be torture but a worm eating halfway through your body and stopping and then eating its way back out? But a worm that never stops will absolutely eat you whole. A fire that is quenched. What is worse than third-degree burns? But what if you receive absolute burns, where you are burnt to ashes, where the fire is not quenched? Torture requires the quenching of the fire. Every person who exercises torture, it's always apply torture, remove torture. Apply torture, remove torture. Fire to them, quench fire. Fire, that's torture. But rather, the punishment is unquench until it's finished. There's nothing covered that shall not be revealed. The misdeeds that they do in darkness do not go unnoticed by God. What he whispers in our ear in darkness, that speak to others. Preach on the housetop. You know, we are to speak what God, you know, that's why you teach on the internet. Well, this is exactly why. I'm trying to get what he has taught me to get it out of me. Because God expects a return on his investment. He didn't just give me what he gave me that I could bury it in myself. As the parable of the talents goes, and we'll get to that yet. Let's move on, because that's pretty clear, right? Don't put your light under a basket. It's going to come out anyways. That's the thing. It's like sometimes I feel shy about saying some things, about saying the truth to some people, because I know, well, they're not very receptive, right? Don't cast your pearls before swine. But then again, look, you know, a man is not a swine. You can't just look at a man and say, oh, swine. You know, you never know. So you test the waters and you judge their fruit and see if they're ready to hear. See if a door of utterance is opened. You know, when someone is letting you know in no uncertain terms that they view what you have to say with utter contempt, hold your peace. But as long as you aren't sure, and you could be, you know, you might be thinking, oh, they're not going to want to hear. Test the waters a little bit. See, maybe they've changed. But again, I don't, you know, I look for a door of utterance to be opened by God. If someone in the, you know, we got to use the Holy Spirit when we speak to people, when we think about what we're going to say, when we proclaim on the housetops. You know, everything Jesus said, he always intended us to take it with the wisdom that God gives us through his Spirit. Because there are things that seem to contradict at times. And so you have to use wisdom and understand when to zig and when to zag. Because there is a time to do both. Verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not therefore, for ye are more value than many sparrows. Very simple analogy. Look at it. Two sparrows are sold for a penny, meaning they're very cheap. You know, I'm not going to go into the exactly how much. I mean, I got a big note in my Bible about how much that exactly was. God knows when a sparrow falls to the ground, and they're very cheap. God numbers our hairs. God knows everything. And he knows all about us. And if his grace is upon us to save us, don't be afraid. Have faith, right? You're worth much more than that to him. Much more than many, many sparrows. He knows what's going on with us. when we get into trouble. Verse 32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. Interesting verses, right? Because immediately my mind runs to Peter. Peter denied Christ before men 3 times. So again, is this absolute? Well, it is absolute, but with wisdom. God has the potential to be gracious and merciful and forgive, but he also has the potential to not forgive. He can hold our iniquities and sins against us, but let us rather humble our hearts and seek him that we might be delivered from our iniquities, that we might be delivered from our sins. Did Peter go on to deny Jesus every day of his life for the rest of his life? God forbid, no. No. See, people always look at that. See, Peter was a sinner. Of course he was a sinner. But you don't think he got beyond that? You don't think he ever improved from that point? That's the thing that gets me. Sometimes people look at a moment in time, or something like Romans 7, you know, I do what that I would not, and they think, well, that's how you're supposed to always walk. No, no, no. We are not walking that way. We are progressing. We are moving forward. We are going on to bigger, better, and more godly and virtuous things. That is the message of the scripture. Don't be confused. Don't let anyone deceive you. If you therefore shall confess him before men, he will confess you before his Father. Let us be confessing Christ. Let our last confession be that he is Lord, not to deny him. You know, and let's not confess him one day and then deny him the next, but rather continue to confess him. Because we do not know. God has to be. Peter, when he did that, he didn't know, oh, God will forgive me. Because that is an evil conscience. For you to deny God, to sin and say, it's all right, God will forgive me. The only way we should ever sin is if it's like a disease in us. A loathsome and hateful disease. Not where we're like, well, God will forgive it. So I'll do it. It's okay. He won't hold it against me. You think that's what Peter was thinking? Think again. He was like a trapped rat. You know, in those situations where you get, He went out and wept bitterly afterwards. Verse 34, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I am come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross, and followeth not after me, is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it.